In the beginning, before years were ever even counted upon the monolith, there was only the real world, and the artists who could slip between realities. They were called painters. They were not just people who put color on canvas. In this world, a painter could step through their own work, immerse themselves in it, and walk the landscapes they created. Their art was not simply viewed, it was lived. Their brushstrokes shaped entire worlds. Their colors became skies and oceans. And each finished canvas was a doorway into a place that had never existed before they imagined it. Every painting was fed by an energy called chroma, the living substance of creation itself. Painters used chroma the way others used paint, pulling it from their own souls and from the blank spaces of possibility. When they painted a world, they left a small fragment of their soul behind inside of it, embedded in its mountains and rivers, in its cities and skies. There was a cost to this miracle. Staying too long inside a canvas, inside a world that was born from your own soul, took a terrible toll. The longer a painter remained within, the weaker their body became in the real world. In time, if they refused to leave, the canvas could kill them. Among these artists was the Desandre family, Renoir and Aline, the parents, their children, Clea, Verso, and Alicia. They were not just any family of painters. Aline was the head of the painter's council, a figure of great respect and power. Their manor was a place where worlds were born. Painters came and went, and decisions that affected their entire order passed through Aline's hands. Somewhere else in this world were the writers. They were another kind of creator, another guild of storytellers with their own power. The painters and the writers did not get along. Old conflicts and quiet rivalries simmered beneath every meeting. Whatever peace existed between them was thin, fragile, and full of cracks. It was in that uneasy world that the children of the Desandre family played. When he was still a child, Verso did what the painters in his family had always done. He painted a world. Helped by his sister Clea, he shaped a fantasy land full of strange creatures and soft, dreamlike logic. In this painted world, there were gestrals and grandees, beings he imagined and gave shape to with his chroma. He even painted his beloved plush toy Esquier into the canvas, and a gestural copy of the family dogs, Monoko III and Noko. To him, it was a playground of imagination, something born of childhood joy and curiosity. What Verso did not fully understand was that, like every painter, he left a sliver of his soul in that world. His world became one more canvas among many, a place his family could revisit if they had ever wished. But outside the canvas, tensions between the painters and writers would grow over the years. One day, the writers deceived the youngest daughter, Alicia. The details of the trick are not important. What matters is the result. Their deception led directly to catastrophe. The Desandre Manor caught fire. Flames devoured wood and stone, paint and canvas. Smoke filled the halls of a place that had birthed worlds. Amid the chaos, the family tore through the burning rooms, trying to save one another. When the night ended, everything was changed. Verso died in that fire, sacrificing himself to save Alicia. Alicia survived, but the fire took much from her. She lost an eye. She lost her voice. Her skin was scarred. The girl who emerged from the ashes was not the same as the one who had entered the flames. Her own body became a constant reminder of that night, just as the empty place where Verso should have been was a reminder to everyone else. For Aline, the loss was unbearable. Each time she looked at Alicia, she saw the son she had lost and the knife that had taken him away. Her grief worsened, not lessened with time. And somewhere inside her, a thought took root. The last sliver of Verso's soul still existed in his childhood canvas. As long as that painted world existed, some part of him remained. She could not accept his death, but she could flee from it. So Aline made a choice. She stepped into Verso's canvas, into the fantasy world he had painted as a child, and chose to live there instead of in the real world. Once inside, she did what only a painter of her power could do. She painted humans into Verso's world. She crafted a painted copy of her family, recreating them so that in this world, the fire had not taken Verso's life. She created a painted Renoir, a painted Clea, a painted Verso, and a painted Alicia. But she did not paint herself. She would live with them as herself, moving among them as if she were meant to be there all along. Yet she did not paint Alicia whole. In Aline's mind, she still bore responsibility for Verso's death. So the Alicia in the painting bore the consequences of the fire, the lost eye, the missing voice, and the scarred skin. Even inside this fantasy, where Aline tried to undo the tragedy, the marks of that night remained on the girl. Outside of the canvas, Renoir saw the truth clearly. To stay in Verso's painting was to slowly die. Aline, the woman he loved, was surrendering her life piece by piece to a world that was not real. Inside that same grief, Clea took a different path than her father. She blamed the riders, the ones whose deception had led to the fire. Clea wanted to hunt them down, to make them pay for what they had done to her family. Renoir couldn't bear to lose anyone else. Clea couldn't bear to see her father spend the rest of his life trying and failing to save someone who no longer wanted to be saved. Two different paths of the same grief. And they saw only one solution. Get Aline out of the canvas and destroy it so she could never go back. Destroy Verso's last sliver of soul, the fragment she was clinging to, so everyone else might one day accept his death and move on. Renoir stepped into Verso's painting to bring back his wife to the real world. Clea followed soon after. Inside Verso's childhood world, everything changed when Renoir arrived. He painted the fracture, a cataclysmic event that tore the painted world apart Land split. The world's fabric shook. Aline responded by sending Lumiere, the world's main city, away from the continent, and away from the conflict between herself and Renoir. She pulled the city out of the war between the two of them and set it apart. Their struggle escalated until it reached a stalemate. At some point in this battle of wills, Renoir managed to imprison Aline at the top of the monolith, an immense structure at the center of the painted world. Aline, in turn, imprisoned Renoir beneath the monolith. They were trapped in opposition, one above, one below. Between them, the monolith drank in their power. The chroma around the monolith grew so dense that it formed a deadly barrier. Any human who dared approach the monolith and touched that barrier was simply erased, wiped away as if they had never existed. Aline was the strongest paintress the world had ever known. Renoir alone could not defeat her, but Clea still needed her father's help in the real world to confront the riders. She needed him freed, strong, and alive. So Clea intervened in the painted world. She gave Renoir a boost in the conflict. She painted the Nevrons, deadly creatures designed to kill humans and trap their chroma so that it wouldn't flow back to Aline. Trapped beneath the monolith, Renoir painted something else, the four axons. Monstrous beings, larger and more dangerous than the Nevrons, which each represented the essence of Aline, Verso, Clea, and Alicia. Aline's strength would begin to falter, and Renoir reached for a brutal solution. He started erasing Aline's oldest creations, beginning with those that were 100 years old or more. He was cutting away pieces of the painted world to weaken her. Aline could not stop him outright, but she could still protect what mattered most to her. She made her painted family immortal and indelible. They could not be erased as the others could. She also painted a warning on the monolith for the people of Lumiere that she could still save. This warning would later be known as the Gommage. The world changed, but the painted family endured. Far away, in the safety of Lumiere, humans knew little of the true story behind the fracture or the Gommage. They did not understand what Aline had done or what Renoir was doing. All they knew was that the world had been broken, that a mysterious paintress was blamed, and that people were vanishing. In response, the people of Lumiere organized expeditions to the continent as search and rescue missions. They wanted to find survivors. They wanted to find Aline. They wanted answers. The first of these journeys was called Expedition Zero. Its commander was the painted Renoir. Its members included the painted Verso. Officially, they were searching for Aline, who's considered missing after the fracture. Unofficially, they were on a collision course with the true heart of the conflict. At some point during this early era, Clea encountered the expedition at the monolith's barrier. She told them the truth, that Renoir, not Aline, was behind the Gommage, and much of that destruction. She tried to erase them on the spot, but failed. They were immortal, crafted that way by Aline herself. They could not be wiped out as ordinary humans could. Expedition Zero did not survive, but the painted family members did. The expedition was lost, and the story of what truly happened remained buried with them. Later, Clea took a more drastic action. She kidnapped the painted Clea and painted over her, turning her into something horrifying. A living Nevron factory, endlessly spawning the very creatures that hunted humans and trapped their chroma. She also met Simon, another member from Expedition Zero, a close friend to the painted Verso, and lover of the painted Clea. Clea deceived Simon by impersonating the painted version of herself. Wearing his grief and longing like a mask, she gave him the power needed to defeat the Axon that embodied her own essence, and the power to pierce the monolith's barrier. Her goal was simple. She wanted Simon to reach Aileen and beat her out of the canvas, forcing her back into the real world. When Simon finally met Aileen, she told him the truth. Instead of dragging her out, Simon tried to take Renoir down instead. He understood who was truly responsible for much of the ruin, but ultimately, he failed. The stalemate at the monolith remained. Time would pass. Within the painted world, painted Verso and Renoir tried to warn others about the true cause of the fracture in the Gamage. They told the people that the real enemy was Renoir himself, not the paintress Aileen. But no one believed them. Worse, their survival from Expedition Zero made others distrust them. They had been the only survivors of that doomed mission. Suspicion would grow even further when Julie, a friend of Painted Verso, discovered his immortality. To some, it made him less human and more dangerous. Eventually, Julie's group ambushed the Painted Verso and Renoir. The confrontation forced the two of them to defend themselves, and Julie's group was killed. Afterwards, the painted Verso and Renoir fled, and never returned to Lumiere. Painted Renoir's methods of protecting Aileen, in his mind, preserving the painted world, grew darker and more extreme. Eventually, the painted Verso would go on to betray the painted Renoir. He knew Aileen was slowly dying inside the canvas, consumed by the toll of remaining in a world of her own creation. He still wanted to save his mother by taking her out of the painting. But he was also exhausted by the conflict and tired of always being at its center. He began traveling, joining expedition after expedition, trying to help. But each of those expeditions would meet their end. The pattern repeated. Attempts to reach the monolith. Death at the edge of its secrets. Verso watched it happen again and again. In Monolith Year 58, Verso traveled with Expedition 58 and discovered old Lumiere, the original city the Desandre Manor had once stood in the painted world. He walked the painted reflection of the family's home, carrying memories that the others around him did not share. Meanwhile, in the real world, time moved at its own pace. In Monolith Year 49, within the painting, Clea made another choice. She had spent years torn between her rage at the Riders and the pain of watching her family fracture. She still needed to hunt down those Riders who had deceived Alicia and triggered the fire. That mission pulled at her like gravity. So Clea decided to leave the canvas again. But she knew the fight inside Verso's world was not finished. Renoir still clung to Aileen's painted prison. The conflict between them still devoured Chroma and lives. She turned to Alicia, who was still weakened from the fire, scarred and voiceless. Clea entrusted Alicia with a task. Go into the painted world. Help Renoir finally bring Aileen back. Then, once Aileen was free, Renoir could return to Clea's side in the real world and join her in the war against the Riders. Before Alicia entered the painting, Clea made an observation that mattered deeply. Alicia, when it came to Verso, was just like Aileen. The way she held on to him, the way she could not let go, mirrored their mother exactly. And Alicia herself was torn. She didn't know if she wanted to go into the painting purely to fix things, to help her family heal, or because some part of her also wanted her voice and skin back. Before stepping to the canvas, Alicia tried one last desperate act. She hid the canvas in the real world, hoping that once Aileen was forced out of it, she wouldn't be able to find it again. Clea, more familiar with Aileen's determination, believed Aileen would find it anyway. Still, Alicia hid it. It was all she could do. Then, she entered the painting. As she crossed the threshold, she lost control of her chroma. Aileen's chroma, still dominant in the painted world, washed over her and painted her anew. Alicia was reborn in the painting as a newborn child named Mael. Inside Verso's world, Alicia's memories and scars were gone. Only the new life named Mael remained. Time moved differently inside the painting. In Monolith Year 49, Clea returned once more to the painted world and sought out Verso. She told him the truth about Alicia/Mael, about the girl reborn from Alicia's chroma, and entrusted Mael to his care. More years passed. By Monolith Year 33, the people of Lumiere were tired. Expeditions had failed again and again. Hope had thinned. Fewer people volunteered to join expeditions. More people simply wanted to live out whatever years they had left in peace. Life felt short and brittle. People began forming families as early as 15, hoping to spend as much time as possible with their children before they were gamaged. Entire generations grew up with the understanding that time itself was fragile. In this era, a man named Gustave completed an invention called the Lumina Converter. This device would allow future expeditioners to harness the chroma contained within Pictos, giving them new ways to survive and fight. In Lumiere, Mael, the girl Alicia had become, was now 16. She was one of many orphans in the city, partially raised and cared for by Gustave. He was at once her adoptive brother and something closer to a father. Mael had no memory of her life as Alicia. To her, the painted world and Lumiere were all she had ever known. She joined Expedition 33 alongside Gustave, Lune, and Ciel, and others, driven by a desire to explore the world outside the city's safe boundaries and put an end to the Paintress. But Expedition 33 did not go far before disaster found them. As soon as they docked on the beach beyond Lumiere, painted Renoir intercepted them. The man, who had once been a painted copy of Mael's father, now stood as a relentless executioner. He annihilated the expedition. Only Gustave, Lune, and Ciel survived outright. Mael survived too, but only because Verso intervened. He pulled her from the jaws of death and left her in the care of the curator, a weak manifestation of Renoir himself, a fragment of the man, not the whole. Mael was kept safe, even as the rest of her companions lay dead. Later, the last remnants of Expedition 33 regrouped. Gustave, Lune, Ciel, and Mael resumed their journey. They crossed the continent, met the Gestrals, and eventually recruited Esquier to help them cross the sea. During this time, painted Alicia, the painted version of Alicia within Aileen's constructed family, took a keen interest in Mael. She noticed that Mael was not scarred as she was, that Mael still had a voice. These differences mattered to her. She had been painted to carry scars that Mael no longer bore. The journey took a darker turn when the painted Renoir killed Gustave, and Verso allowed it to happen. He feared that Mael would become too attached to Gustave, too rooted in this world, too unwilling to accept what might be required to free Aileen. Saving Aileen, destroying the canvas, and with it, the entire painted world, including the lives of everyone within it, might be the only way to end the tragedy. If Mael were bound to Gustave, she might refuse to take that path. So Verso made a terrible choice. He allowed Gustave to die. Verso joined the crew formally afterwards, and eventually Minoko as well. Together they marched toward old Lumiere, the painted echo of the city that had once been home, with a new plan. They intended to destroy the Paintress's heart, a manifestation of Aline's weakened presence, believing that doing so would help them pierce the monolith's barrier. The heart, like the curator, was a diminished fragment of Aline. The plan failed, but from that failure, they discovered another. If they killed two of the Axons, the titanic beings representing fragments of Aileen, Verso, Clea, and Alicia, then the massive chroma released from their deaths could be used by the curator to create a weapon capable of piercing the barrier. And so they hunted the Axons, and they killed two of them. The curator took their chroma and fashioned the weapon needed. And at last, they entered the monolith. On their way to confront the Paintress, they killed the painted Renoir, the painted echo of their father, who had become executioner, saboteur, and guardian of the stalemate. They then faced the Paintress, Aileen herself in her full painted power, and they defeated her. For the first time, an expedition had truly succeeded. The team returned to Lumiere to celebrate. The nightmare that had plagued the continent for generations seemed finally resolved. The expeditions that had gone out year after year, hoping and failing, now at last, one had come back with victory. In the calm that followed, Verso read a letter from his sister, addressed not to him, but to Mael. The content of that letter matters deeply later, but its existence alone was enough to tie threads across worlds. A sister who still cared. A promise of something beyond endless conflict. Then, with the conflict at the monolith resolved, Renoir was finally unchained. No longer imprisoned beneath the monolith, he acted. He gamaged all remaining humans in the painted world. Everyone in the world vanished, erased in a single sweeping act. At that moment, Mael's memory shattered and reformed. She remembered who she truly was. Mael became Alicia again, regaining not only her memories, but the full awareness of what the canvas was, what her family had done, and what she herself had agreed to. Faced with the destruction of the painted world, the only home most of these souls had ever known in its existence, Alicia begged Renoir not to destroy the canvas. This world, for all its horror, was her home now. Renoir refused. He could not risk losing Alicia the same way he had almost lost Aline, to a world that would consume her entirely. He could not accept the idea of losing another child. His refusal led to a direct confrontation between father and daughter. Before escaping that confrontation, Alicia did something crucial. She gathered the chroma of Lune and Ciel and brought them back to life. She promised them that when she had control over all the canvas's chroma, after she had taken Renoir out, she would bring everyone else back as well. Back in the group, Lune confronted Verso. She had learned the truth. He had known that defeating the Paintress would destroy the world, and he hadn't told the team. He had let them walk into that fate without knowing the full cost. The Painted Verso did not deny what he had done. He said he didn't regret saving his mother from killing herself, and that he would do everything necessary to bring everyone back, regardless of what others might think of him. To stop Renoir and save the painted world in any form, Alicia needed more strength. She used the trap chroma of previous expeditioners, drawing on the echoes of those who had gone before and died in pursuit of the monolith, to partially bring them back so they could help in the final battle. These resurrected figures joined her, and together they confronted Renoir. In that confrontation, Aline herself helped, adding her strength to Alicia's. Together, they overwhelmed Renoir. In the end, Alicia convinced Renoir to leave the canvas. She told him she would follow soon afterward. She would return to the real world after she took care of what remained. It was a promise made as his daughter, bearing the weight of everything that had happened since the fire. Renoir believed her and left the canvas. But the painted Verso saw what Alicia truly intended. He realized she was lying. She had no intention of going back. She wanted to live and die inside the painting, just as Aline had wanted to. To her, the painted world was home. Reality outside was a place where she was scarred, voiceless, and out of place. Living as a ghost who could no longer see a future for herself. Verso understood that if she stayed, the cycle would repeat. So he made his own decision. He resolved to destroy the canvas himself. That decision triggered the final confrontation between Alicia and Verso. A battle not just of strength, but flood of beliefs about grief, death, and what it means to live. The fate of the canvas and everyone within it would be decided by who you choose to follow. In one path, you follow Verso. From the beginning, the painted Verso's goal had been to save his mother, no matter what happened to the world around them. But after defeating Aline, seeing Alicia reborn as Mael, and watching the cycles of grief repeat, he began to sense a different possibility. Through Alicia, he saw the hints of a new outcome. He believed she might find a way to save both the painted world and the real world. Everyone inside the painting, everyone outside it. This hope resonated with the painted Alicia's letter, written and addressed to Mael. In that letter was a wish for an outcome where no one had to be sacrificed. But when Verso realized Alicia had lied to Renoir, when he saw that she planned to stay in the painting and die there, he understood something crucial. She was about to repeat the very same cycle Aline had followed. She would trap herself inside a canvas, refuse to accept the finality of death, and cling to a world of her own making. She would carry forward the same patterns that had broken their family in the first place. And Verso was tired. Tired of being at the center of every conflict. Tired of bearing everyone else's grief. Tired of watching his loved ones sacrifice themselves because of what he was and what he was not. What he could never be. He wanted rest. He wanted the last sliver of Verso's soul, that tiny fragment left inside the painting, to rest as well. So in this ending, the painted Verso destroys the canvas. Everyone inside is erased. The painted world with all its beauty and horror is gone. But in the real world, this act makes something else possible. Those outside the canvas can finally accept Verso's death. They can no longer cling to his fragment of soul inside the painting. There's nothing left to run to, nothing left to hide inside. They are forced to face their grief, and eventually to move on. This decision is one about accepting grief and death, to find a way to keep moving forward, to keep living despite the loss. It is a decision to live a life of love. In the other path, you follow Alicia / Mael. Clea had already pointed out the painful truth. Alicia's way of grieving was very similar to Aline's, especially when it concerned Verso. But Alicia's grief was layered. She didn't just mourn Verso. She mourned herself as well. She mourned the girl she had been before the fire. She mourned her voice, her eye, her skin, and the life she had expected to lead. She did not see a place for herself in the real world anymore. There she felt like nothing more than a ghost, someone who existed only as a reminder of grief and tragedy. Inside the painting, as Mael, she had a voice again. She had a body that did not carry the same scars and grief. She had friends, a world, a purpose. In Alicia's ending, she keeps the canvas and brings everyone back. On the surface, this choice feels like a happy resolution for those inside the painting. Life restored, deaths undone. People given another chance. expeditioners return. Friends and allies who had vanished in waves of chroma live again. But the cost is profound, though subtle. If Alicia can bring everyone back, death is no longer final. If death is not final, then grief can be endlessly postponed, endlessly evaded. And if Alicia cannot handle her grief in the future, she might take a step even further than Aileen did. She could make everyone she loves immortal, just as Aileen had made her painted family indelible, trapping them all in a world that never ends, never closes, never allows them to move on. In doing so, Alicia takes the weight of grief off of herself completely and places it upon her family in the real world. They will feel her loss. They will know that she chose to stay in a painting, just as Aileen did, and they will be fully unable to reach her. Inside the painting, Burso remains, and he must carry the weight of their family's grief, possibly for a very long time. Death has been loosened, the finality that had once, in its own harsh way, given meaning to life, had been compromised. Alicia's choice is a decision to reject grief and death, to escape from the reality that hurt her so deeply, and to live instead in a controlled world of paint and chroma. This decision is one to live a life to paint. In the end, regardless of which ending is chosen, someone must be sacrificed. Verso's ending is about accepting death and grief, and finding a way to move on, even when it hurts deeply. It insists that life without loss is not truly life at all, that letting go, however painful, is necessary. Alicia's ending is about refusing death and grief, seeking escape from a reality that feels unbearable, and clinging to a world where nothing truly ever ends. The story suggests a very hard truth. Death finds us all, and grief is inevitable. But death gives meaning to life. Without it, without the knowledge that time is limited, that relationships are fragile, we might not cherish the time that we have. We might not understand the true weight of those we love. So the story leaves you with a choice, framed in two lives and two paths. Will you choose a life to love or a life to paint? The canvas awaits you at the center of that choice. And whatever you choose, someone pays the price.
Thank you.